Welcome to Studio 1776. I'm your host, Daniel Leach. I'm joined today by Rexus Lotus Justice. Good morning, Rexus.
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me okay? You're a little garbly, but I think I can work with your audio.
Is this any better?
Actually, it is.
Okay.
So, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, sure, okay.
Okay, cool. So, the people I'm talking to are hoping that the White House has been quarantined for protection. Because what most people don't know, well, maybe they do know if they listen to your show, that on 9/24, a notice of removal was delivered to the District Court of the District of Columbia, the shared clerkship of that in bankruptcy, in case number 2020-40, which brought the state of Ohio criminal code to a default as well. And that pleading can actually be found on the Supreme Court, or the Ohio Supreme Court. They've changed their name three times because I keep bankrupting them, so they have to keep changing their name and seal. But they are now called the Ohio Supreme Court, and that is in case 20-0760. That is, the notice of removal is on there. I think it's on 20-1017. And it can also be found in the common pleas case that's attached to. But you can actually go read the notice of removal, which mandates that the Treasury be zeroed. So, I've proven that they've defrauded the FESTA-K, okay? And that it was actually a default by statutory failure of the Department of Transportation, which holds the transferring utility for the state of Ohio, which is the United States Corporation Company Transferring Utility that's registered as a transferring utility through the Department of Transportation. So the states of X, each of the states of X has a transferring utility that is registered with the Department of Transportation, and they all are called the United States Corporation Company. And so when the Department of Transportation, by the way, I brought the case on January 6th of this year in 2020 we brought it to the bankruptcy court to you know, get recoupment for my son, really. We were trying to recoup my son is what we were trying to do. Recoup his instrument, and then recoup his instrument mandates that they go arrest him with the instrument that we recoup, his birth certificate. So the way we did it, when the Department of Transportation did not answer within 6 months, it's a statutory default, and that occurred on July 6th. Well, there was this pending case that they had brought with this, a civil case, which they had brought, which was the false eviction, the fraudulent eviction, which then turned into a criminal act with treason, sedition, and conspiracy against substantial rights within the municipal courts and the common pleas courts when they circumvented the civil case, which I moved to the Supreme Court by Rule 4, and they were stymied in it, and they were trying to seize Monica G. Justice, the instrument, with it. They then came with me with a false pink slip to circumvent that case, and then that turned into the criminal case. Which, by the way, they don't even have, they have no warrant for arrest. They violated the order for the probate where it says, hereto do not fail. They never served me. They never contacted me. They came in with they even admit that they breached the door. They came in without a warrant for arrest in a no-knock raid, which is against the law. And were in the house. They were actually in the residence whenever I defended myself with a gun, and then they shot me. So they were actually in the property already whenever the gun exchange was happening. They then didn't produce, there's no signed warrant. They then seized 27 items. The warrant for the seizures are not signed. There's no signature of chain of custody. There's nothing. And then they even on the docket, you could go see that on the 30th of July, they averred to have served Monica G. Justice at an old resident address, which is where my last driver's license was registered like 10 years ago, which I let lapse. They served Monica G. Justice on the 30th of the same month of July, though I'm sitting in jail since the 21st. So apparently, I don't know who I, you know, it's kind of an admission that they were holding me versus the instrument. So it's a clear case in Coquette within the instruments on the docket, that a criminal conspiracy, treason, and sedition to basically steal the instrument by a sheet. So, but because of the activity within the court, I was able to do what's called a notice of removal under proceedings of 2254, which is a criminal civil procedure where you move the case to the federal courts. Typically, they would think that I need to go to the district courts of the state, but in Mukini versus United States, they say that the district courts within the states are mere territorial courts, so they're not true district courts. And so if you've watched my videos, you know that the only true district court left in the whole United States is the District Court of the District of Columbia. So we were already enjoined there in case 2020-40, so we now have moved their criminal courts, the criminal methodologies of these private bargaining hearings to the feds. And when the Supreme Court of Ohio chose not to correct the lower actions in REM, that allowed us through Gelston v. Hoyt to move that case to the notice of removal, with the notice of removal to the feds, to the Fed District Court. Then the actions of the criminal case allowed me to move them to the District Court 2020-40. So I basically hemmed them up, netted them in all of their activities, both on the civil side and both on the criminal side, for violations of the Constitution, conspiracy, treason, substantial rights violations, civil rights violations, and they're sitting there. Now, they plan to have a trial, I think, on Monday, so that ought to be interesting. That'll be, again, a sham legal process, and again, a prima facie act of treason, so we'll see what happens. But if anybody wants to read why potentially Trump is being sequestered in the White House and under protection, it's because they've been ordered to zero the Treasury, because I have proven that the state of Ohio, in a plenitude of ways, in a plethora of ways, has defrauded the Sestake Trust. So the trust, Sestake, is to be crashed by the law, and the Treasury is zeroed. And from my understanding, there is an executive order out mandating the revalue. So we will see what happens. So let's pray that Trump is being, and the White House is on quarantine as an instrument of protecting the agents of state enjoined in this mandate, which is the Department of Treasury, the Department of HHS, the Department of the IRS, and there's a couple more. You can read the notice of removal to find out, to do the actual revalue. So hopefully that's what's happening, instead of he's actually sick and they're trying to kill the guy. So I'm praying that this is a good sign. The second good sign is that since the 24th of September, the clerk of court for the district court, her name is Angela Cesar, she is the clerk of the shared clerkship. She's the clerk of both the district court of the District of Columbia and the bankruptcy court of the District of Columbia. And this notice of removal is a default notice that needs no judge. It's strictly statutory default, and it's for violations. In the proceedings of 2254, what you do is you take a criminal cause of action and you flip it to be a civil cause of action, where the defendant in a criminal case now becomes the plaintiff in a civil cause of action, averring violations of rules such as Rule 60B, where the judge has shown himself to be prejudiced and biased or operating outside his jurisdiction, which is the case here, and or under Rule 12, which is where all types of demurs come in, lack of jurisdiction, lack of improper venue, improperly pleaded intent. So there's, in this case, they're caught in a 60B and in all Rule 12. So because they've been moving forward in causes of action in the state of Ohio, even when people bring demurs, which is a statutory right, since 1953, by the way, it's been a statutory right in the state of Ohio since 1953. And when they move forward, though demurs are brought forth by people, and they just, in this case, in all the courts that I've, in all the cases that they've ever brought against me, the judges just summarily just dismiss these demurs. Well, they can't do that. They have to have a hearing. And they also have to have a hearing on the counterclaim and the cross-claims first, which they never do that. And when you bring a demur and a counter and a cross-claim within 10 days by the federal rules of having a charge brought against you, either be civil or criminal, it moves the case to equity in the federal construct, and it creates an international equity claim. So what they're doing in these municipal courts is they're violating repository trust law every time they dismiss summarily these demurrers and these counter and cross claims. And it's taken me about 7 years, 10 years to get to this point where I could net all of their courts in this, but this time they're screwed on, I mean, they're totally, there's no way for them to get off the page. So hopefully what is happening, so Angela Garcia has been on vacation since the 24th. So my hope in the things that lay ex parte off the books because of national security.
So, hold on. Who's Angela Garcia?
I'm sorry, Angela Cesar, not Angela Garcia. Angela Cesar, she's the clerk, sorry. So Angela Cesar has been on vacation since the 24th. So my hope is in the things that were sent ex parte, thank you for that correction, in the things that were on the that have been on this case ex parte, because if you look at the case, it ends, I think, I don't know, sometime, a long time ago, and it says that we were not given the ability, we've been denied removal by the judges. Well, the case continued after that on a default on the clerk itself, okay, and a default on the in bank. So I defaulted them in bank, but those were declared, I declared them a matter of national security because we didn't want the whole world to know what was happening because then the coup could kill people and do stuff. But in those ex parte orders, they're required to put Angela Cesar into protective custody in order for her to allow her to do her job. Because, you know, if you kill the clerk in charge of the default, you coup the court. And so there's hopefully a bunch of people in protective custody doing their job under the law outside of the reach of the coup. And so that's where we are as far as in the federal court. It looks like potentially Trump is in protective custody, that there's supposed to be an executive order on the books. Somewhere, I was told, I was not told the number, but I spoke to someone last night, mandating the revalue. And in this regard, in prophecy, you know, again, this is prophecy is for people who believe. You know, testimony and prophecy are for the people who believe, not the people who don't. And in this regard, in Revelations, it speaks of eight principled men, and those are the seven joint chiefs of staff plus POTUS, plus Trump. And in Revelation 17, verse 11, it talks about the eight going into perdition, which would be Trump. So I'm going to say that Trump has now entered perdition and that he is now hopefully doing the hard tasks of going through the Treasury and backing it to, in the order, in the notice of removal, they're mandated to remove it back to the last known audit, which is 1841. And if anyone wants to go get the congressional record concerning that audit, they can go to my Facebook page if they haven't taken that down. And I have a document on there called The Real Reasons for the Civil War. And it is the congressional record where it shows that they audited the they audited the Treasury. And between the president from 1840 and the incoming president of 1841, and that they found out that not only were 7 million silver trade dollars missing from the general fund, but they were in the negative, okay, and that they had moved the state trust accounts and the native tribe trust accounts into the general fund and just stolen them. So when I totaled it up, it was something like 28 million trade dollars, silver trade dollars this time. So that's a lot of money to steal from, and that was under the trusteeship. Now, that bankruptcy, so what they did after they found out that we had no silver dollars in our treasury, and at that time, the treasury was privately run. It was privately run by none other than Temple Bar Esquires for the King of Great Britain. So basically, the Esquires for the King of Great Britain stole 28 million silver trade dollars, real physical dollars from the United States Treasury account. Okay, and they were just we had no money, and so they had to declare bankruptcy. So they didn't go after the people who would have gone after. What are you going to do? Use the esquires to go after the king? That's your. So at that time, the treasury, the trust should have been collapsed, but they didn't do that. Instead of what they did is they declared the United States, as in the territorial states, bankrupt, and imposed the bankruptcy acts upon them. Where then under Lincoln, they tried to make the states pay for their own bankruptcy. So they declared bankruptcy, they reorganized the United States, the territories, under bankruptcy, and then told them that they were going to pay the fees of the dividends to the stock options that they sold. So the Civil War was started because the state said, you want us to pay the dividends for stock options that you issue on a bankruptcy where you stole our money. You understand?
Right.
So that was what the Civil War was about. And at that time is when they actually passed the second 13th Amendment, which I call the Rucker-Feldman Amendment, because it talks about the second 13th Amendment, which was passed unanimously in the federal Congress 20 days before the Civil War officially started. And it says thus, it says that the federal government may not interfere with the state's rights to define the domestic institutions of slavery or peonage. So they basically put a prohibition on the Constitution. And 20 days later, we go into, quote, rebellion. So they re-upped the Sesticae because we were in rebellion. And then this one 13th Amendment, the second 13th Amendment, the domestic institutions, quote, Rucker-Feldman, because they this is what the Rucker-Feldman Doctrine comes from. It was passed by one state during the Civil War in a convention of states, and that's the state of Illinois. And if you go into the annotated constitutions of the United States and or the state documents of the Constitution, which are two different instruments, but two different books, but you notice how they start changing the names of the states from the mixed uppercase state of Illinois to the all capital during around the Civil War. So what the coup did during the Civil War is they re-upped our bankruptcy, or they re-upped our Sesticae by a cultivated bankruptcy, and then converted everything into a corporate fiction. And they did that through the trust through the state of Illinois, which is why the state of Illinois is an incredibly corrupt state, and the territory, you know, the Chicago area and the Seventh Circuit there are incredibly corrupt institutions. Funny that the Rucker-Feldman Doctrine was cultivated by the Seventh Circuit. So they went forward, you know, this is all very contrived, as I said.
Did you say the seven churches?
The Seventh Circuit, the Seventh, oh,
Seventh
Court.
Circuit.
Seventh Circuit Court of the state of Illinois is the court that promulgated the Rucker-Feldman Doctrine, which is what they throw at parents, mothers and fathers, whenever they're trying to get their children back. They throw this doctrine at them going, well, you can't sue the state of Illinois. You can't sue any state of. It may get loud here for a minute. They're serving us lunch. You can't sue a state of because they're immune from being sued by the Rucker-Feldman Doctrine. And it's a completely doctrine. It's not based on even. It's not even based on a case in court. It's based on an opinion from a judge.
You have 1 minute remaining.
I can call you back. It's based on a pause it anyway. It's based on an opinion from a judge in a private journal. So it's not even cultivated from a case. It's cultivated from this judge taking a case and saying, well, let's use this case and use it this way. So it's a completely judicial, quote, contrived doctrine. It's not founded in a hearing or a ruling or anything. And it's been used to give states complete, absolute immunity from their criminal acts against people within the state. So that's where the Rucker-Feldman's derived from. It's derived from the pre-Civil War 13th Amendment, which is the second 13th Amendment that no one knows about. Again, all these things are in, I've established in law in cases. So I'll call you back so we can continue this. Because I want people to understand that your government's been couped for a very long time. They take hundreds of years to coup governments, folks. Hundreds of years. They planned this since the Civil War.
Thank you for using GTL.